You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
What's up, everybody? Chris is not just kind of late. Chris is very, very late today. Welcome to the Southside Beat on a Wednesday. It's hump day. Hump day. And thank you guys for showing up, for being patient. And I wish I could give you guys a better excuse, but you know, I'm not going to bore you guys with reasons. But thank you guys for showing up. I'll just say that the reason why I'm late today, I'm just trying to do my best ode to the Ramon show because that'll be coming up today. I know you guys are going to be looking forward to that, man. Hey, listen, I don't think anybody's more excited maybe about hearing Ramon Foster's perspective on this week more than I am, just because, you know, again, love to follow the sport, love to hear players talk about it. It's good. Appreciate you guys. Like I said, appreciate you guys sticking around. We'll dive into some conversation today for sure. And DeMond says it here, man. It's draft day eve, man. I'm excited. Ready for the draft to just finally get here. Ready for all of the speculation to stop. Just ready for all of this. You know, the Vask Jeff says here, move up, down, stay pat. Like, what's the plan? Well, I can plug the column that's atop the DKPittsburghSports.com homepage right now, where I dove into number one. Everything that I know or that I knew literally hitting into, and Brent's right here, hit the like button, man. If you're right here, hit the like button, hit the subscribe button, appreciate it. But in that column that's atop the site right now, all the information that I knew as I was writing that, it's all there. Everything that you need to know, it's all there. And Spice Creations, like, saying, is it true they cleared cap space? We're going to get into that here in a second, because that's why the title of today's episode is What's Omar Cooking? But just really quick. So when you're trying to look at draft strategies, draft knowledge, draft intel, I've got everything that we possibly know there. So go read it all. I have to go to DKPittsburghSports.com. It's right there at the top of the site. So now, is it true they cleared cap space? Yes. The Steelers, according to a report from NFL Network, restructured Alex Highsmith's contract, which clears about, if it's the same figure that's on overthecap.com, which I would assume it is about $7.2 million, which would give the Steelers about $18.3 million in estimated cap space. Okay. Now, there are two receivers that the Steelers have been heavily linked to in trade rumors who have cap hits, sizable cap hits, that were more than what the Steelers had in cap space, which was about $11 million. And the Steelers now have enough space to acquire either one of them. And those would be Brandon Ayuk and Cortland Sutton. Now, I've been very, very adamant here in what I was told in Orlando at the NFL annual meeting about the Brandon Ayuk stuff being absolute garbage. Now, I'm going to look over at my calendar here to the left, and I'm going to see that it's April 24th. And I even said this before when I talked, because we had a episode last week in which I said, I'm going to be transparent. The intel that I have on that is about 3 weeks or so old. So now I can go back and look. It was about a month ago, the NFL annual meeting. And I was told then that the IU stuff was garbage. Lots can happen in a month. Now, I don't know what's going on here, but what I do know, and this is very, very much a similar situation in which we saw with the Steelers and Kenny Pickett and the quarterback situation. The initial goal for the Steelers was not to trade away Kenny Pickett. They were kind of forced into that whenever they signed Russell Wilson, and then Kenny told them, okay, I need you to trade me. I want to be somewhere else. The 49ers have been, and John Lynch has been very adamant and very clear that their preference here is to re-sign, or is to sign Brandon Ayuk to a contract extension. And every time he said something like that, Brandon Ayuk's gone to his Instagram and pretty much said, just pay me. You know, cash talks, money walks, pretty much. And Spice Creations puts it here, after how much St. Brown just got paid, the 49ers might know they can't afford him. Like, 100%. 49ers are, I mean, they have a great roster, but you don't get the roster that they have and keep it for very long. You just don't. You have to pay guys in order to keep them together. And unfortunately for the 49ers, and fortunately for the rest of the league, they don't have the cap flexibility. And Jordan and I wholeheartedly disagree here, saying neither can we. The Steelers are paying the least amount of money in the NFL, or if not the absolute least, it is very near rock bottom in terms of paying their quarterback. They can make stuff work. 100% they can make money work when it comes to affording a wide receiver like Brandon Ayuk. 100%. I don't... The only thing for me personally, I'm gonna preface this. For me personally, the money issue is not the issue with Brandon Ayuk. It's what's the capital that you have to give up to get him, if there's a possibility. If it gets to a point where John Lynch has consistently said, we want to sign Brandon Ayuk to a contract extension, but it all of a sudden, maybe it's not a possibility anymore. And so then the 49ers might go, okay, well, if we're not going to be able to sign him to a contract extension, then what do we get? How can we recoup this? And is that through a trade? Most likely, yeah, that would be the obvious move. And so at that point, it's okay, well, what all can we get? It's Brandon Ayuk. Can we get a first-round pick? If no teams balk at that, then maybe you can somehow get a second and another pick. You know, whatever it is. And Randy says here, you know, Brandon Ayuk is too much money. I don't want to buy a championship. Listen, I don't think the NFL has morphed a bit when it comes to how you build your roster. Okay. You have to have, I'm not in this Colin Cowherd crowd whenever I say things like you have to have stars in order to win, like it's a requirement, but you kind of have to have some star players in order to win. You kind of do. Obviously the position you'd rather have the star at than any team would rather have a star at is a quarterback. But what's one thing that can help make a quarterback a lot better? And that's supreme talent at receiver or supreme talent on the offensive line. And yeah, I do find that a bit interesting that, like, you take a championship however you can get it. And yeah, you do need stars. That's why the Steelers paid TJ Watt. That's why Minka Fitzpatrick got a good size contract. If you can find ways to put stars on your team and afford it, especially because even if Russell Wilson or Justin Fields work out this year, I don't know if those quarterback contracts are going to be something that's going to be completely outrageous in which you can't afford to have a good roster the rest of the way. I don't know if it's going to be a Kirk Cousins type deal in which you're going to be like, holy crap, we're having to, you know, put a gigantic percentage of our salary cap on one player. There's got to be a balance. You can't have a bunch of gigantic contracts and then have no depth. But you can't just have depth and then no star power. You have to have a good balance here. And Lori brings up a good point here too. You know, says, I feel like the Steelers could get someone as good or better than Sutton in the third round. Maybe not the third round, but maybe the second. If you can get Roman Wilson or Ricky Pearsall, maybe. Now, I don't think that they come in day one and they're better than Cortland Sutton, but could they become better than Cortland Sutton in 2 or 3 years? Yeah, probably. Maybe even after 1 year. But to me, I think if the Steelers have an opportunity to sign Brandon Ayuk to a $25 million a year deal, which that's a lot of money. That's going to make you just go, whoa, that's a lot of money for a receiver. And you only have to get, like, even if you have to give up this year's first round pick, like, to me personally, I would do that in a heartbeat. That to me personally. But you might not even have to do that. Again, if there's, and I even said this in the column, I was like, anything that might happen, I don't know if I said it in the column, I said it on the site sometime recently here. I expect the Steelers to be patient when it comes to anything with the trade, when it comes to trade market stuff. We saw that play out with Justin Fields. We saw the patience there. They were talking to the Bears and they were like, all right, let's make a deal. I was like, all right, no, okay, we'll have some conversations. We'll see. Okay, there's, you know, there's a price range there. Okay. And they kind of put it on the back burner. All right, well, let's see what else we can figure out. And thank God that they did that, because obviously, again, once they signed Russell Wilson and then, you know, gave the impression that he's going to get some sort of favoritism when it comes to reps and Latrobe or whatever else, that Kenny was like, yeah, no, put me somewhere else. And they're like, okay, well, instead of having somebody here who doesn't want to be here, you know, volunteers, not hostages, right? instead of, you know, keeping him here, they're like, hey, let's just pick up the phone and call Ryan Poles again and see if, you know, there's still something we can work out for a trade for Justin Fields. Why not? Like, if you can get Brandon Ayuk for a second round pick, that's Teresa says, but Chris, is Ayuk really that good? And one really good season and beneficiary of a loaded offense and brilliant offensive scheme. Yes, he's that good. Yes. He's an exceptional route. He really does. I don't see any glaring weakness in his game. I remember like talking about Deshaun Elliott, like jack of all trades, master of none type situation, you know, does everything really solid, doesn't have any glaring weakness, but also doesn't really do anything great. Brandon Ayuk does a few different things really great. He is great at getting separation. He's also a really good blocker. When we talk about a guy, like, those are two phenomenal, like, it's Deontay Johnson, but somebody who's way more willing to be, like, who's willing to be way more physical and can be a much better blocker. That's the best way I can describe it. It's Deontay Johnson with probably more sure hands and better blocking and willing blocking. That's another thing. It's not just technique blocking. It's like willing to go in there. I mean, like I talked about, of all the things that you can complain about Allen Robinson last year, the one thing you can't say is that that dude is soft. No, he's not. That dude was willing to stick his nose in the C gap to make blocks. That is, you don't find a lot of receivers that are willing to do that. And Brandon Ayuk, fantastic at getting separation and a very, very good blocker and sure hands. Like, and James Moody here says he's got what you want in an NFL wideout. And yeah, that to me, like, yes, 100%. And especially for a team that wants to run the ball first. Joshua Dobbs here says, and this is, I just don't love giving up 20. I get it. Listen, we have not really talked about Brandon Ayuk rumors on here just because, again, at the end of the day, if you're like gun to my head and you're like, is this trade going to happen or not? I'm saying not. Like, that's just me right now as we sit here, 3:27 Eastern on April 24th. I'm saying no. But again, if there's a massive pivot here and the 49ers, John Lynch says, well, crap, we can't get an extension worked out. We know we can get a first round pick. Let's just say hypothetically, we know we can get the 20th pick in the draft. Straight up. I don't think the Steelers would necessarily like to give up 20 either, but you still have 51, 84, 98, and 119 in rounds 2 through 4. And I did a mock draft earlier today in which I did like a forced trade. I just did when the Steelers were on the clock at 20, I did a forced trade, 20th pick for Brandon Ayuk. And I was like, let's see how the rest of this can play out here. Really good possibility. You can get a tackle or like Sand was still out of Michigan, possibly in the second round. Might have to trade up a few spots to get him. But slot corner solved there. And then I'm really beginning to think, because I'm standing by what I know, and that tackle is the priority in the first round. But if that doesn't work out, and when it comes to either tackle or center, I'm beginning to really kind of think that there are some players in the third round that I think some people are going to be sleeping on that the Steelers are really high on. Goncalves, the tackle from Pitt, to me. Not that I'm saying that he should come in and be a day one starter. No, you're talking about a guy who would probably have to end up learning for about a year, maybe, you know, get some snaps whenever he can. But that's a guy who I'm kind of looking at. Vask Jazz here says it right here. Blake Fisher is another guy that you could probably get in the third round. Might have to trade up for him. In the third round, might have to trade up from 84 to get him. But Blake Fisher is another guy. Two interior guys that could play center, Mason McCormick. And Nico, thank you so much. I'm the name pronunciations. Whenever you're trying to do homework on so many different players and you don't say it correctly, Goncalves. There you go. That's how you say his name. He's a pit guy, but I'm like, still, I'm there are so many different players I'm trying to remember, like Fuaga and Fatanu and like all the Latham and all these guys. Like, how do you remember the pronunciation of all these names? I'm not going to put that much effort into it until they become Steelers. Okay. But two centers in the third round that I'm looking at, and maybe even the fourth round for one of them, Mason McCormick, guard out of South Dakota, I think South Dakota State. I can't remember the college, but they had him in for a pre-draft visit. I think they're really high on him, to be completely honest. Like, I really do think they're high on him. Graded out on pro. Now, again, take it with a grain of salt because it's PFF grades, but graded out really good on Pro Football Focus. Again, take it with a grain of salt. Also take into account the competition he was facing, but the tape looks really good. And that's BS says, he can actually play center. Yes, he can. If you go to Pro Football Focus and look at his snap counts, you will not see that there. But doing some digging there. Yeah. And Vass just says it's South Dakota State. Yeah. That's what I thought. Doing some digging, there is center in his background. It might not be a lot of it, but there is center in his background. And, you know, when you're interior offensive line, obviously you, when it comes to snapping the ball, you know, and there is a difference between center and guard, but I'm very inclined to believe the Steelers believe he can play center. And then the other guy is Hunter Norzad from Penn State, who you're looking at maybe the 98th pick. Maybe they try to flirt with it and try to get him at 119. That might be pushing it a little bit, but I think they're also really high on Hunter Norzad out of Penn State. That could be another guy you could look at. Now, am I? These aren't sexy picks. These aren't saying, hey, this is Jackson Powers Johnson, or hey, this is Zach Frazier or Graham Barton or any of these top centers. But, man, and I got to put this. Pre-show says, first round pick will be a center, wide receiver, or cornerback. Go read my column atop the site at dkpittsburghsports.com. The priority is tackle. If there's no trade for Brandon Ayuk, the priority is tackle. 100%. 100%, that's the priority. If they can get a tackle in the first round, they're going to get one. They're probably going to have to trade up to get one, to get one of the guys, because you start to kind of flirt with, I don't know, when you get to like Amarius Mims and Tyler Guyton and those guys. But when you're talking about the top five, Joe Alt, Fashanu, Fatanu, Fuaga, or Latham, those five guys, those five tackles, any one of those guys is worth a trade-up for the Steelers, in my opinion. And I think the Steelers, especially with a couple of those guys, including Fuaga, those are like they probably have those guys on their board where they have a certain threshold or a certain comfort level with trading up to get them. Tackle is the priority. If the Steelers have their way here, again, ignoring anything when it comes to Brandon Ayuk rumors, if they have their way, they're going to get a tackle in the first round. But you can't just go in and just say, okay, let me handcuff myself and be like, all right, we got to get a tackle no matter what. You can't do that either. Like, you can't just go in, because if they go into to Thursday night and they don't get a tackle, you're going to come right back here and say, Chris, they didn't get a tackle. You don't know what you're talking about. Like, again, it depends on how the draft board falls. If all five of those tackles are gone and they couldn't do a trade up, and but Graham Barton sitting there at 20, you take Graham Barton. My gosh, take him. You do it. Like, it's not a thing in which I'm saying like, hey, it's tackle or bust. That's a different thing from saying their priority is tackle. You can have a priority, but sometimes your priority didn't work out.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Kevin asks, why not Daniels for center? Because I have heard nothing to suggest that they are willing to move him to center. I think one time when Omar Khan was answering questions about center, he mentioned Daniels' name, but the name that typically comes up whenever he's going through that spiel, when he's going through GM speak in front of the media, is Nate Herbig. And I think anybody who really knows, like, they probably know they can do a little bit better for a starting center. Either that, or they're just a lot higher in Nate Herbig than a lot of people are. I just don't think that they're... I think they like having the guard tandem of Sam Mallow and Daniels. That's what I think. Stephen, I asked, do you think Barton will go before Jackson Powers Johnson? I do. I think Graham Barton's the first center off the board. I'd be shocked if it's not Graham Barton. Like I said, if those five tackles that I named are gone and Graham Barton's available at 20 and there's no trade for Brandon Ayuk there, 100% I am drafting Graham Barton. Cooper DeJean might be the only other player that I would consider. But, you know, I did a mock draft last week in which I painted, okay, here's a situation in which they take Cooper DeJean in the first round. And we saw how the rest of the draft board was falling. Now, granted, it's a mock draft simulator, so take it with a grain of salt. But, you know, Anyway, I just the one thing to me, and I just to kind of to wrap this up on the Brandon Ayuk stuff, especially. Angel, if they could get that, that's a slam dunk. I think John Lynch would have to be fired if they did that. Look to me. Angel asks, what about a pick swap for Ayuk in the first round? They get 20 and we get 31. Essentially, the Steelers are moving back 11 spots. The 49ers are only getting 11 spots higher in the draft and give away a pretty much a star receiver. That to me is, that's a bad trade. If the Steelers can get away with that, you tip your cap, you shake John's hand, you say thank you very much, and you move on. That's an easy decision. Easy decision. And you know, I'm very inclined to believe, again, if he twisted my arm and said you have to make a decision right now as we sit, are the Steelers trading for Brandon Ayuk? I'm still saying no. But Spice Creation says Brandon Ayuk is, I saw this earlier, Brandon Ayuk is dancing on Instagram, so either the 49ers are paying him or he's coming to us. I am actually inclined to believe that he saw what Amon-Ra St. Brown got, that might be why he's dancing, because he's like, hey, I'm not gonna do dad dances on here, I'm not doing that. But he might be seeing what St. Brown got, and he's like, man, that only helps me. That only helps me. Thank you very, very much, Detroit. And thank you very much, St. Brown, for helping me out by getting me paid, because it's only going to help him get paid. It's not going to hurt. It's not going to hurt his ability to get a good contract. If you twisted my money or twisted my money, if you twisted my arm, I'm all over the place. If you twisted my arm and said, hey, are the Steelers trading for Brandon Ayuk? I'm saying no. But when you start to get up on these, you know, like unofficial deadlines about whether, okay, can we sign into an extension? Can we not sign into an extension? This would be the time, if we don't sign him to an extension, it doesn't seem like there's going to be anything moving forward, this would be the time in which his trade value is at its absolute, like absolute maximum. Because the longer they let this drag out, the more risk there is that Ayuk walks and just doesn't sign an extension, and the more leverage they lose in terms of a trade. Because now there's no draft picks to possibly acquire, not until next year's draft, and you know, we still have a whole season to play to see which teams are picking where. So I think that's why we're starting to see the rumors really, really run rampant here. Because, again, the 49ers, if they have any kind of sense that they won't be able to sign into an extension, they probably know that his trade value won't be any higher than it will be Thursday night, possibly even Friday. But Thursday night for sure, because you can still possibly get a first-round pick out of a team who's willing to pay it. And I think that's why Omar Khan might be willing to be patient enough. You know, maybe he waits all the way until the time the Steelers are on the clock. And maybe even if he does trade away the 20th pick, maybe he does end up recouping some sort of draft pick. Maybe it's not sliding back to 31, but maybe he also gets another third rounder or another fourth rounder or something. So he still keeps the same amount of picks in the draft, but uses that 20th pick to get yourself a star receiver. I don't know. You don't know. Like right now, he might be calling John Lynch. Again, pure conjecture here. He might be calling John Lynch and John saying, if we can't find, like, get an extension worked out, it's going to be the 20th pick in the draft straight up. Like, that's what it's going to be worth. Again, pure conjecture here. I'm not basing that on information. That's me guessing. And Omar's like, yeah, I'm not paying that. And then by the time the Steelers are on the clock, John might be like, wait, hold on. What if we got the 20th pick from you, but also gave you our fourth rounder? Maybe that's enough to get Brandon Ayuk. They still get draft picks. They still have a second, two thirds, and now two fourths. And like I said, there are some players to get in the third and fourth round There are some players that I think the Steelers are high on in the third and fourth round at positions of need, at center, at tackle. So I don't know. Like I don't think a trade for Ayuk happens, but I do find it interesting that the Steelers restructured Alex, because they didn't have to restructure Alex Highsmith ahead of the draft in order to make room for the draft picks, like to sign the draft picks. You know, they already had that room. So what's happening here? That's like, what's Omar cooking? That it's just, the timing is interesting to me. This is the first time I've seen something tangible happening when it comes to the Brandon Ayuk stuff or a trade for any receiver, and thought there might be some legs to this now. Maybe, just maybe. I'm still very skeptical just because I do know what I was told. Now, granted, that intel's a month old. A lot can happen in a month, but it's just, the timing's interesting. So it's bound to be a very, very exciting, couple, like next 20, I'll say 36 hours. Yeah. Why not 36 hours? Cause I'm sure the reactions for Thursday night will be going late into the night, no matter what the Steelers do. If they stand pat at 20 and take a center, if they trade up and take a tackle, if they trade that 20th pick and get Brandon Ayuk, if they stand pat at 20 and take Tyler Guyton because they're really high on him and fans are going, what the heck? Either way, the reactions are probably going to go late in tonight. So the next 36 hours is going to be very, very interesting. Very excited about it. It's a great time of the year. It's the best time of the offseason, the NFL draft. It's awesome. Going to go for today. Sorry about the late start. It made today's show a little shorter. We will be on time tomorrow and might try to make this a little bit longer of an episode tomorrow, just because it's the last show we're doing before we know what's going to happen Thursday night. So all of that being said, you guys have a great night. Try to get some rest because tomorrow night might be a little bit late. Cody asks, Ramon Foster today? Yes, I do believe there is Ramon Foster today. I do believe so. So get ready for Ramon, DK coming up at the top of the hour. I'm very, very excited about the NFL draft. It's best time of the offseason. Love it. Amazing time. Lots and lots and lots of homework goes into this, not just obviously on the team side, but also on the media side. So I'm excited. I don't even have words to describe it. I'm excited. So, all right, cool. You guys have a great day. See you tomorrow. Cody says, thanks, Chris. Also, go Mavs. I'm wearing my Mavericks t-shirt today. Tied up that series 1-1. Heck yeah. Let's go Mavs. All right. Thanks, guys. Happy draft day eve. See you tomorrow. We will talk more. Maybe something will happen between now and tomorrow. We'll get a chance to talk about that. But either way, we're going to have some lots of draft talk tomorrow. If you haven't read it yet, go read my column on dkpittsburghsports.com right now. Get all the latest intel that we have on what the Steelers are looking for, draft scenarios, so on and so forth. First round, of course, obviously. Anything after that's a crapshoot. Peace out, you guys.